You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Man, so good to be back here on a Tuesday night. For the people listening, so you're here live at WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo. Don't forget, you can check us out every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30. We usually go till about 8 o'clock, but I always put up till 8:30 in case we go long, which we probably will tonight because you got Gino Told You So coming on. He's got a lot to say. It's funny. We'll talk about that in a minute. But real quick before we get into talking about who we have on today, my co-host, of course, 1,000% Knockout Nicolette, fresh off of Total Destruction last Sunday, is in the house with me. Nicolette, what's happening?
Hey, Bobby, thank you so much for having me on. Yeah, I look forward to talking about the show, and photos are coming out, more video footage is coming out, so we look forward to sharing it with all of you guys listening tonight on WrestleBot as well.
Yeah, a lot of feedback on the pictures that we put out of you, of me holding Zodiac Al while you gave him a few punches here and there. I would try to tell the people, and it's funny because we did some stuff for Sean Black's 310 radio show or whatever it's called or whatever in the 310, and when we talked to him, and we interviewed, it was like, I was like, I don't know what they did wrong, but to put myself and Sean Black together was just going to be total destruction. And that's what it was. I mean, we put it on him Sunday, and it was probably, I'm going to say, I always say one of the most fun shows I had or whatever, but this one, it was just like bulldozer, just boom, just ran over him. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But before we, you know, talk a little bit about our match, we wanted to talk a little bit about what happened. You know, Nicolette and I went down to the venue. We always get there a little bit early. First of all, Nicolette, as you could tell him, we didn't think there was going to be a show because what happened when we got there?
Yes, we did have mass confusion. We pulled up and there was actually a mini swap meet going on. And Bobby talked to the parking valet in Spanish and he told him that he was one of the workers. And the guy was like, okay, it's $5. And he's like, no, I'm working the show. I'm talent. And he's like, oh, okay, well, here, you can park right here. No, don't even worry about it. And then we were like, how are they going to clean up the swap meet and get this ring going in like an hour? And they did it.
Yeah, I was surprised. And it was no parking. It was packed already because there was people that were leaving from the swap meet and then coming in for the wrestling. So we parked like literally on the side of a fence or whatever to get in there. But first we run into Jack Cartwheel, who was just moving leaps and bounds.
Shout out to Jack Cartwheel. Yep. He was doing amazing. And Fabi, you'd have to get him on this show too, because you've had him on your other show, your other podcast, but I would like to get him on this show.
Yeah. You know, we got to get him over here to talk, because he's steadily climbing the ladder, which I knew, I pretty much knew was going to happen. Cause when I wrestled him, I was like, man, this kid's he's got that perfect build as a wrestler, short, stocky, and just like super compact and strong. And when we were talking to him, talking a little bit about working for New Japan and you know, with the tournament Lions Cup and stuff like that. And then I said, man, well, this is even going to elevate it more because you got good dance partners. He went against Super Legacy and Príncipe Indu Jr., which is Superboy's family or whatever. So I knew that was going to be, you know, do well for him. So I didn't get a chance to see the match, but I heard it went really well. So, you know, it was funny because we were up there talking and watching the people break everything down. I said, man, I'll be surprised if they have, but they did. They had it ready to go. So we went inside, you know, for a while and getting dressed and talking for a little bit. And then we see Bestia come in. So where they put us is upstairs. And then before, we used to go into the classroom and get changed there. Don't know what happened. I don't know if somebody made a mess or whatever, but they locked the rooms and we had to get dressed in the hallway. So they just put chairs in the hallway, which was cool. We still have plenty of room. But then there's a curtain, okay? And then the curtain separates the other side of the hallway where they're having church for the kids, like the teenagers and the kids, right? So they're actually – church is going on right there. So here comes Bestia in full makeup, you know. And Nicolette, how would you explain it? Like a monster type of makeup with the 666 on the forehead, right?
Right. Well, if anybody knows Bestia, for two reasons, he does like either a full face or a half face, but it's never a mask. It's always paint. And somebody even told me, they were like, I thought he was making his teeth scary like that, but it's just the makeup. He doesn't have to do like a funny face or anything. And so he comes in and he tells us hi, and we're trying to tell him in Spanish, like, esta iglesia la música, because they were teaching the students like music, you know, to learn like church songs. And he was like, oh, he's like, well, I can't go back there. Mi esta bestia. He'll get scared. And we're like, yeah, well, don't cross the curtain.
He said that, and then he looked at me and goes, should I go back there? I go, are you kidding?
Yeah.
I go, those kids will run out of here and think, you know, what the heck's going on? So we didn't see Damien, you know, and I'm like, hey, so Abraham brought them in the van, and Abraham was downstairs. I don't know what he was doing, but, you know, I saw Bestia, and Extreme Tiger came with him. So they're all there, and I'm like, hey, you know, where's your dad? And he goes, oh, he's not coming. He's sick or whatever. So as I'm talking to him, I look left, and there's Daga sitting, and I went, oh, shit. I go, Daga's here? He's like, yeah. And I go, you're going to take his spot? He's like, yeah. I'm like, damn. I go, that's pretty good, because not only Daga was there, Tessa Blanchard came with them, but she was just kind of there's like a little patio area that leads going downstairs, that leads going out to where we wrestle. So she was kind of kicking back there, watching the matches from there or whatever. So I was like, man, that's pretty cool. Even though Damien couldn't be there, you know, they were able to bring Daga, which was pretty huge. So all in all, that show, for what you paid or whatever to get there, that was worth the money, because there was a lot of good matches, a lot of good workers, and it went really well. Could have been a little bit more full. I don't know if a lot of people were scared with the COVID that it wasn't going to happen, because we didn't think it was going to happen, but it ended up going really well. So with that being said,
well, and Bobby, and this is your opening too, I do want to mention this for the people listening at home. And Bobby and I went to, we had kind of communicated a little bit, and I told Bobby, it is the season of giving. It was a toy drive for children. I said, I'm going to take some stuff to give away to the audience. And Bobby was like, okay. And I didn't realize how much giveaways Bobby was doing. Bobby gave away 2 shirts that night and one bag. And then I gave away we're going to explain that too, but I gave away some like high-risk masks to some kids that were like super excited, some buttons. I did a shirt giveaway, and I know a lot of people wanted like the necklaces that Sean and I were wearing too. But yeah, I took my stuff out of the bag. I was carrying both mine and Fabi's merch, and I just heard people just screaming for Fabi's merch. Fabi, you could talk about that and thank your people that wanted that. But later on, go ahead and give out the call-in number. And if anybody wants to call in, or there's somebody that we're going to do a giveaway for tonight, that's definitely open. Thank you to everybody who's listening to WrestleBoss. We'll send you a
shirt. Black and red shirts, for some reason.
That's our biggest seller.
Yeah, they sold like our best ones. We have a white over black, or whatever that we can give away. But what happened was is Nicolette had a sweet black gold over black shirt, just solid gold over black. I liked it, but it was small. It was for kids. It was like a kid's large or whatever. So she said, if you see a kid or whatever, go ahead and give it to them. I was like, okay, cool. So I get the shirt, and the people were going nuts. I mean, they were like rushing the ring. I'm like, dude, we have one. So Alondra Campos, who has been to everything since the beginning, all the Lucha Libre Alliance shows, Inoki Dojo, all that, always there, you know, all the time. And she's always real cool and always supports the indie wrestler, always pays, always buys their merch and all that. I think her and Dolly Esquivel have a podcast themselves, and they were all sitting together. So she wanted the shirt, and I'm like, I'm trying to tell her it's for a kids. And Nicolette's like, you're going to insult her, don't. And I'm like, no, I'm just trying to say it's a kids shirt. But you know what are you going to do? No, let me have it. So I go ahead and give it to her. And then I thought, man, you know, what is she going to do with that or whatever? So I had first of all, I had an orange over black, you know, a shirt that does really well also. That one looks like Halloween. And that was like my favorite shirt. So I had that one. And then Nicolette Marie made me a bag that's black. As a matter of fact, I put it up. I put it up to put the call-in number. So if you check it out, that's the bag that I gave her. And she's like, what are you? I'm dumping everything out of the bag. And I'm taking, se me quita la camisa. And it's like,
and
what
see, the funny thing is, I didn't know where Fabi was going, and we were done with our match, and I told Sean, do you want some tacos? And Sean's like, yes, please. So I ran outside real quick, and I bought some tacos, and I came back inside, and I was like just grubbing on those tacos. I could see people looking at me like, did you not eat today? But I was like, these tacos are so good. I was just, sitting in the corner, like eating, and Fabi ran out there, and he's like, I got to go give away more merch. And I was like, okay, hey, do what you got to do. You know, tell everybody.
But Nicolette Marie, I caught so much heat because it was intermission. So I went out there and I, you know, I gave her the shirt and the bag and everything. And I said, hey, you know, this is all I have. I'm sorry. You know, I didn't want you to just go there. She's, oh, no. Thank you so much. But everybody around her was like, oh, hell no. What's up? And then Dolly Esquivel, who's been her partner for a while and goes to all the shit. I'm like, I'm sorry, man. I go, but, you know, Londra's been to everything and I didn't want her to just go away with just a small shirt. But she was very, very grateful. I mean, and plus, not Extreme Tiger, Rey León gave her a mask. Yeah, somebody gave her some flowers and all that stuff. So she was definitely recognized. So I definitely would like another orange over black shirt because that was like the best one. I mean, that right there was only one, and everybody else wanted one, but we haven't been able to put those in production yet. So she's like one of the first to get one. So hopefully,
You know what, Bobby? Thinking about it now, maybe a lot of people didn't do giveaways. I don't know if Ray gave her that mask or if she bought it that night, but I do remember too when I went to go give somebody, because I always try to go for the children first. I went to go give this little kid a high risk mask, and. This parent, like this dad stood up and he was like, I have another kid. And I was like, okay, I'll take one out the bag. But like people were like fighting for stuff. So maybe that was the thing, or maybe there wasn't a lot of merch out that night or something. But yeah, hopefully, you know, shout out to RJ for booking us. Shout out to RGR Productions. And we'll definitely come back. And Fabi and I will always do giveaways. You know, we appreciate it.
Oh,
like Fabi said, like he knew who his fans were, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And they do, you know, they spend their harder money and they go to all the shows, and most of them live in LA. So to drive to Orange County, you know, it's pretty cool, you know, so I'll take care of them, you know, for the people like Dolly and stuff like that. Once Lucha Libre Alliance gets going again, we see them out in LA. We'll definitely go ahead and give them. And I got to tell you, Nicolette Marie, I was talking about it, how people were in shape and good to go. So I had been working on getting in shape, but the last, you know, over Thanksgiving and all that stuff, I was grumbling. But dude, I see Daga and I'm like, man, this dude is in shape. Extreme Tiger's doing ab wheels to warm up and all. And I'm like, man,
I missed that part.
There's no room, and he decides to pull out the ab roller thing and start doing rolls or whatever. But anyways, it was really cool, good show. Daga came. It really set it off with all those guys. So I thought it went really well. You know, so props to Richard Garcia too that dude puts in a lot of work and he's keeping it going. He said, yeah, as soon as all this COVID's over, I'm going to do another big show. I'm going to bring Wagner. I'm going to bring Juventud Guerrera and Pirata Morgan on the next show.
Wow,
so
I didn't hear that. That's awesome.
Yeah, man, he's just going to keep on moving. So it's going to be cool. So later on, if we keep time.
Let me say this. A lot of people too try to throw shade and are like, oh, so how come you didn't get booked on the last card? So, like, what happened with the other card? Why weren't you booked? The thing is, too, that you guys got to understand that they try to swap people to bring down different people. Yeah. So, especially right now with COVID going on, if someone sits out a show, it gives an opportunity for somebody else. I just talked to one of my other friends today in the Lucha world, and he was like, you know what? I was booked on the card. They still went ahead and paid me, but I gave the spot to someone else. And that's how it works like that. Maybe this time they're not looking for female valets, but maybe next time they are. Maybe this time they're not looking for Lucha people, they're looking for American people. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's how
it
works. So when you see shows coming back and people don't get booked, and you see it's no disrespect or anything like that, it's opportunity for somebody else to get booked. And they'll eventually book your people, you know, and keep in contact with the fans and that you are friends with and everything, and tell them where you're going to be at. They'll go out and support you.
And we did do the Christmas gimmick. That was one of the things. So a lot of wrestlers are like, man, I'm not doing that or whatever trick, because they think it's like – So, but I'm like, heck yeah, dude, I'll break up the elf gimmick, no problem. We had a good time. So, and props to Zodiacal, because, dude, I hit that dude with all my weight on the elf, and he kept going, man. We'll talk a little bit about, you know, his partner and stuff like that and what happened towards the end when we get some time later on when we get Gino. But we got Brenda Boom Boom Gonzalez coming up. She's somebody I know from King of the Cage. You know, she fought over there. I got to announce some of her shows. She's also married to Tim Dirty Bird Means, who just signed another 4-year deal with the UFC, and you know he's on fire right now. So I want to talk to her, get some stuff in with her, and then we'll bring in Gino Told You So and talk a little news, because there's so much going on, even though this COVID's hitting. So we're gonna take the big break right now, see what Denise Salcedo has to say, and we'll be right back after this. Hold on, everybody.
Hey everyone, it's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central Central with a reminder of where and when to catch all of the great network content this week. Get the full lineup and listen to all of our shows in the podcast network section of LuchaCentral.com. On Tuesdays, Mass, Mats, and Mayhem takes you inside the world of Lucha Underground as they take you weekly through the series with the benefit of hindsight and the benefit of special guests from the groundbreaking series. Check out the premiere video stream every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Lucha Central YouTube channel and at LuchaCentral.com. Then listen to it on your favorite podcast platform every Wednesday. Tuesday nights live is WrestleBoss, where Fabi Chulo talks MMA and pro wrestling with special guest and listener Collins. Visit WrestleBossLive.com Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific to listen live or call in with questions, or download the show on podcast platforms on Wednesdays. Wednesday nights live on Facebook, it's Spanish show, La Mesa de los Margaros, giving you both the news and the chisme from around the lucha world. Special guests and a whole lot of fun make it one of the most talked about shows in Mexico. Thursdays, it's Straight Out of the Bodega with Papo Esco and PWR promoter Gabriel Ramirez, as they have guests from throughout the wrestling world pull up to give an inside look into their careers. From indie standouts to television superstars, each week brings a new name and perspective. On Friday, it's your double dose of Lucha Central Weekly podcast, one in English y el otro en español. Lucha Central Weekly is where you'll find all the top stories of the week, both inside and out of the ring from Mexico and anywhere luchadores are in action across the globe. Be sure to subscribe and follow all your favorite Lucha Central Network series on your favorite podcast platforms, either by their own series name or subscribe to the Lucha Central Podcast Network show pages to get all of the shows in one easy feed. And please consider giving a rating to help more fans find the shows that you love. For now, this is Denise Salcedo signing off from Lucha Central Central. Have a great week.
Hey, man, it's always good to hear Denise Salcedo because we got so much going on the Lucha Central podcast. And props to Kevin Kleinmark because he's finally got his shirts into what's the name of the Hot Topic?
Hot Topic,
or whatever.
They're all available online.
Yeah, so you can get them online, but you got to check them out. They haven't got them to California yet. And Kevin's like, I know, believe me, I'm trying. So they're going to be out pretty soon. So props to him for working hard. I mean, that dude gets no sleep. I mean, he's just constantly working. So we definitely look forward to that. So let's give Brenda Boom Boom Gonzalez Means a call. And we'll talk a little bit about some King of the Cage and a little bit about it's some interesting stories,
hey,
even though I got to work with
her. Name and number and I'll call you back.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1.
You can hang up real quick, Nicolette. I hit the wrong button. I'm going to call you back right now. Okay, big boo-boo on my end. So let me fix everything here real quick, and then we'll call right back. 1 second here. Hold on. I don't know. I just sent her a text, too, that I was going to call her back. Let Marie back. Sorry about that. I keep calling you by your shoot name instead
of right.
Nicolette Marie. But what do you call it? I just texted her and told her that we're calling. She said she's cool, so maybe she just finished hanging up. So let me drop this number in here one more time.
Okay. That happened to Sean, too, because he did an interview with me and Fabi, and he was like, Nicole, Nikki, Nicolette, Nicole. And I was like, oh, it's okay. I was like, you can call me whatever. It's totally fine, yeah.
And Sean Black is the best partner to have in the world because I'm just dying laughing or whatever. Because
he tells
so
like
funny.
joke after joke. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and we talk about Inglewood and Solid Dudes and all
and
that stuff.
And Bobby was laughing at me because I was like, Sean, what's your opinion on Bad Baby? He's like, oh, well, let me tell you. You want to know about Whoa, It's Vicky?
Hello?
And we go, hello, Brenda, it's Fabiano. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Oh, good. Yes, we can. Real quick for the people listeners, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live with Fabi Chulo. We're going to be talking to Brenda Boom Boom Gonzalez Means in just a second. But real quick before we get to that, my co-host, as always, 1,000% Knockout Nicola Marie is here with me. And, of course, that's my daughter. Say hi to Brenda real quick.
Hey, Brenda. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you so much for coming on with us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
I've been trying to get you on for quite some time, but I know, you know, believe me, it's funny because when I was working for Tap Out and I worked for Charles Mask Lewis, he would always say, don't ever, you know, get discouraged if somebody doesn't call you back. Or he goes, everybody has lives. He goes, you got to understand. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. We know. He goes, yeah. He goes, and then especially in the time slots that we give you, a lot of people are training and they'll say, hey, you know, yeah, I'm down to come on. But then they forget that they're training on. So believe me, we know. People are busy and people have lives, but I've been wanting to get you on for a while because first of all, I want to talk about, you know, of course you getting back into the cage or the ring. And of course, Tim signing the new contract. But first of all, I got to tell you before we get into anything, I worked for King of the Cage for a solid 4 years and then a little bit in my fifth year. And it was far and away, even no matter what happens, the best times I've ever had. There was never one time that I didn't have a good time, but for some reason, not just because you're on the air with us, but this sticks out the most because I had John, Judy, and them treat me like family. I mean, even on my first day there. So, anyways, real quick before we get into talking to Brenda about that, when she fought Yumi Matsumoto, It was over there in Albuquerque, and it was at the Embassy Suites out there, which was awesome. I mean, you can't go wrong with the free breakfast. So that was like one of – so I got to tell you, as we're talking to you here today, I can honestly say how much I missed it. I miss, you know, going to Albuquerque, going to Sadie's for the weigh-ins, you know, and John
right.
Judy would take care of us with food afterwards. And then, you know, I would just completely take care of us. You know, and then get to the fights and all that. And I was so happy to go that I didn't just want to sit in my hotel room and because we didn't have to be at the cage till 5 o'clock on fight day. But you know, I would go help Junebug with the pictures and you know getting everything set because it was just so much fun. So with that being said, that's the last time I saw you. It was there. So real quick before we there's a few more things I want to talk about, but let's run it back to that because I remember Yumi took that fight on short notice. Or whatever. So take us back there real quick. I mean, you know, props to Yumi, man, because she'll fight. She's just
right.
One person that has no fear. She's down to get in. Let's just do it. And first of all, that place was packed. You know, there was a really good crowd, and you did really well that fight. So take us back there real quick and then talk a little bit about that fight because I'm not going to say it was total domination, but you looked spot on. You looked in shape. You know, and you know, I get to see the fights right from the cage. You know, your head movement was good. You were throwing punches. You were throwing kicks. And it just seemed like you were just like firing on all cylinders. So talk a little bit about that. And then, you know, what went on after that? If you just continue to train, I understand you might have got injured after that or whatever. Talk a little bit about that.
I don't even remember. What was that, 3 years ago maybe?
It was about 3 years ago.
All these years run together anymore. but, yeah, that was my last fight at home. I was stressing because I think they were having a hard time finding me an opponent. I had sold tickets, you know, and it was, you know, I was so excited to be fighting at home in front of my crowd and stuff. But, props to Yumi for taking that fight. You know, I think she hit me with a good little looper and I was like, all right, you know.
Yeah.
So I did feel comfortable, you know, I was able to, you know, work some of my Muay Thai that fight. So I love, you know, elbows and, you know, kicks and everything. But, it's already been 2 years since my last fight, November. I fought for a Sugar Creek Showdown. So, you know, I've had back injuries and this and that, but I've been getting a lot of treatment for that. And, you know, it's starting to feel better and stay in place, you know, and I've been training again. I had started working for the school last year, so that, and then coaching. So life got in the way, you know, but I've been getting the, you know, feeling the itch again, and I want to get back in there. My coach has been talking to a couple promotions, so I'm, you know, started training again. And go ahead.
That's what I was going to ask you. It seems like, well, for me, anyways, you know, the only good thing that's come out of this whole COVID and you know, staying at home and stuff is a lot of my injuries had healed up because I hadn't been doing that much. But I just got so complacent. You know what, when both Nicolette, Maria, and I worked Lucha Libre shows and all that, and I was so blown up because I hadn't been doing any cardio or whatever.
Right.
So you, did that give you a little bit of a chance to heal up and everything? And then that's why now you're like, man, I'm healed up. I'm ready to go and just chomping at the bit to get back in there?
Yeah, you know, I blew up myself. You know, I think a lot of us, you know, got that quarantine pounds put on, but Timmy and I have kind of gotten, you know, motivated each other like these last few months. You know, he's had a pretty good year, so and then just watching the Invicta fights, UFC fights, you know, I'm just like, oh, I want some of that.
Yeah, you got to be itching to get back in there, but I want to talk a little bit about that because it let me tell you something. It's a whole different story when somebody that you know or relate, or let alone your husband, is in that cage. But one story, I don't know if you were there. I'm gonna go back to the fight. But this is when I think of Tim Means. When I think of Tim Means and Arlene Sanchez, this is what comes to mind because I don't know if you were there or not because I didn't see you. But after the fights, there was, I think there was like a quinceañera or a wedding party or something that was in one of the ballrooms next to us. So we had finished up and everything, and I was getting ready to head back to my room, and I see all this commotion going on in on the side. And June, one of the cameramen's like, dude, I think they're fighting over there. So we ran over there, and I don't know what happened. There's a ton of different stories. Somebody pulled a knife on Tim. Tim tried to break it up with it. But I was so impressed because not only did Tim put him down, he had a backpack on with two big Muay Thai pads hanging out the back and everything. So when I got there, he had got him to the ground, and I think he put him in a rear naked and was just holding him, but the dude ended up going to sleep. But what happened was his girlfriend tried to jump on Tim's back, and then Arlene got her. So by the time the police got there, everybody was asleep. And they're like, yeah. Well, who's that nigga right there? Those ones on the ground. Were you there for that?
Yes, yes, that was crazy. That was a crazy one.
And I don't, that's the one thing that's like my biggest memory, and the most thing that I got out of that was not only did Tim, you know, defuse the situation, but he did it with a fully loaded backpack and two big Muay Thai or whatever. And it was like a walk in the park. It just, I was gonna say, hey Tim, you all right, man? He just was like, it was cool. He walked. Arlene was like, they're right here. Let's get them out here, whatever. So that's one memory that just sticks out of my mind because I was so fascinated that he could do that with all that stuff on there. But real quick for the people that are listening to us, talk a little bit about that because I've been doing this for so long and I know so many people, and especially through King of the Cage. When somebody who I know is fighting, it's so different, man, because you're just like gnashing your teeth and you want them to do well. It's got to be, you know, five times to the extreme when you see Tim in there. Can you kind of tell us how that is and how it's feeling? Because I know you, not so much excitement, but just the I don't know how to say it in English, like the ansias that you get when they're in the cage. Talk a little bit about that.
Every fight I'm like, okay, I'm not going to get nervous. And then the fight's here and I'm just, my heart's pounding and I'm like, just relax. But no matter, you know, any of my teammates that fight, you know, I get so nervous just because I have no control, you know, like even if, you know, if they put in the work, you know, it just takes one, you know, anything can happen one split second, you know. But, no matter what, my nerves still get the best of me when I see my people fighting.
Yeah. And there's never been like like everything that they've thrown at Tim has been hard. I mean, I'm not going to say he's like, they have these tomato cans that they throw in there. If you're in the UFC, that's top of the food chain.
Right.
But the people that he's fought have been like, you know, like top of the food chain. So it's always been a big battle. That's why I was so – he looked, like I was saying, firing on all cylinders. He looked so good in that last fight. And then I was so happy that they re-upped him, and he's going to keep continuing. So after that happens, do they just kind of say, look, man, go ahead, go home, get yourself together, and then they give his manager a call and tell him we're going to be there? Because I know they said they're going to, I think, have one more big UFC fight, then they're going to kind of slow down for a little bit for the new year and come back after that. So does he just – well, this is my question, you know, since you're always with them and you guys are always training, do you kind of take a little bit of time off and do nothing, or do you still stay in the gym just to keep everything, you know, your timing and everything set?
You know, we still try and stay in the gym. You know, he was hoping to, you know, no injuries, you know, get no injuries of fast fight and hoping to get, you know, a quick turnaround. But he did kind of tweak his back the morning of that fight. So he's still kind of dealing with that, but he's been getting, you know, rehab and some recovery on that. But he did get offered, like, you know, last minute fight for this weekend. Somebody tested positive for COVID. So, but, you know, unfortunately he's couldn't take it. But, you know, like this last fight, I don't remember when he fought last. Oh, he fought in August. And, you know, he just wanted to stay in shape and, you know, it showed this last fight, you know, he was.
Yeah, big time.
You know, focused
We talk about, you know, because I have a lot of fighters and stuff on here and we talk about that, especially now. You know, they're so, like, there's guys that are getting title fights with, like, 2 weeks notice, you know. So a lot of guys that I've on here, like, dude, I'm in the gym and I'm trying to stay, you know, not that far away from my fighting weight because you can get a call.
Right.
Like, I had Gustavo Lopez on here and he, like, 3 days, he got a call. And he's like, dude, I'm ready. You know, so, yeah. So they're now they're starting to say, yeah, man, we're ready because, you know, we never know when we're going to get that call. But right. To me, I don't worry about Tim and I don't worry about you guys because, you know, I've met a lot of people in this business and John Judy seems like it's more of like a family oriented. I mean, I'm sure they all are, but to me, he's just like a family oriented type of guy. He's always been nice to me. He's always been cool, even though he made fun of me because we were driving somewhere far. I can't remember. And he goes, when you were wrestling mm-hmm. in high school, what did you wrestle? I go, oh, I was wrestling 147 or whatever. He goes, and he looked at me like, damn. I was like, hey, just because I'm fat now don't mean I couldn't make 147 back then. But, you know, we always had a good time. And it seems like it spills over, you know, Arlene and everybody. You know, it's a really mm-hmm. good family atmosphere. And what I admire about John is that they try to blow stuff up in the media. It's, oh, you know, Jackson Wink was right across the street now, and it's a big rivalry and all that. So that night, mm-hmm. you know, there was a lot of fighters that were fighting King of the Cage from there. And John's like, I don't care what they say. He goes, if I put this guy with this guy, that's going to be a good fight. The people are going to mm-hmm. like it, and the people are going to come back. That's all I care about. So then you kind of see, oh, man, this guy isn't just to try to make himself look good. He really cares and wants to put on a good show. So that's one of mm-hmm. the things that I'm – so I think, you know, I think you guys got a good thing going there, you know, with Fit NHB and all that. So real quick, Brenda, if you don't mind, I'm going to do a quick public service message real quick. So if you could hold on just a second. Terry okay. Trebilcock Jr., please don't forget about me. I would really like to go back, especially to Albuquerque. All right, thanks. Anyways, I had to put that in, man, because I want to go back. So I would tell you what happened with me not announcing for them anymore, but I would have to do it off the air because it's a long story. But anyways, real quick, before we get out of here, you know, we always have a big question that we like to ask, you know, for the show. And the big one mm-hmm. that we got going on right now, which there's a lot of controversy, is, you know, they released Yoel Romero because I guess they're cleaning mm-hmm. house. And they said, well, he's 43 years old and, you know, he's had three losses in a row. But to me, the big thing is, do they think Bellator should pick him up? And Bellator's like, well, you know, he's 43. We don't know how long he's got. But to me, mm-hmm. I say yes, give him like a 2-fight deal, you know, and go from there. But right. it seems like the census is to not pick him up at all. What do you think about that?
Yoel still does backflips and splits, and if he can still do that at 43, then, you know, yeah. I you know, give him a chance. You know,
yeah.
he's had some exciting fights, and he still looks in great shape. You know, I don't know all the ins and outs, or, you know, I don't know why they – if there was more to it, you know, but,
yeah.
you know, I say give him a chance.
Yeah, he's not a normal 43-year-old. I mean, that dude is in shape, man. So
he's in
I think they should roll the dice, 2-fight contract, bam, and he's good to go. So, okay, we'll put Brenda mm-hmm. down on my list for yes. Perfect. Well, anyways, Brenda, a million thank yous for coming on. I appreciate it. I really had so much fun. When I come to Albuquerque, they always treated me so well over there. Hopefully I can get back. And then just keep in touch with us. If they sign that fight or whatever, shoot me a text or an email. We'll make sure that we promote it here on this station so that we can get those people in that get that place packed. All right.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you guys. Have a good one.
All right. You got it. We'll talk to you again real soon. Brenda Boom Boom Gonzalez means it. Make sure you check her out. We'll be right back after this.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to lucha-masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha Legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBoss with Bobby Chulo.
How about that, Brenda? Man, she's a good fighter in her own right, but to be married to Tim Dirty Bird Means, who's like a major contender in the UFC, plus taking care of a family and all that stuff. I mean, she's got to be like Kevin Kleinrock and get no sleep. But real quick, for the people listeners, you're here at WrestleBoss Live. I got 1,000% Knockout Nicolette Marie hanging with me. And before we get into talking about some pro wrestling, Nicolette Marie has been with me forever. And what was cool about King of the Cage is when the shows were a little bit like in Las Vegas or whatever, I was able to take the family with me. And it was cool. We had a nice hotel room. You know, they would give us some coupons for the buffet. And it was funny because we're just talking about that. We were at the Eastside Cannery in Vegas. And I don't know, I went to go do something. I don't know what, but when I came back, Nicolette Marie and Nyvonne, my wife, were going, looking out the window. And I go, what's going on? And they had busted somebody stealing cell phones or something. You know, Nicolette?
Oh, yeah. I don't know why we had stayed behind. I don't know. We had stayed behind for some reason, though. And we were, I don't know, there was a TV in there, so I'm not sure what we were doing. And we were, yeah, looking out the window, and we saw, like, the flashing lights. And I think we were, like, on, like, the bottom floor. And we were like,
yeah,
what's going on? And I think they had even kind of made an announcement. There was two times. They made an announcement. They were like, stay inside your rooms. We were like, what's going on? We looked outside, and they had, like, had somebody arrested. But do you remember the other time we stayed there, and we went, and John had a fighter fighting, and the fire alarm went off, and I started panicking? Yeah. And I was like, I started gathering all my stuff, and I said, call John. And you were like, why would we do that? And I was like, because he probably has a plan for his fighters. Like, hey, everybody gather in a group, and we're going to meet outside. And you were like, and then I asked John, like, the next day, and he was like, no, people just do that to mess with their opponent, like in case you're cutting weight, if you're like running on the treadmill or whatever, and then
yeah,
the fire alarm
yeah.
goes off, you have to stop so you can't cut weight. But I went into automatic panic mode. Yeah,
yeah, that was a punk move because somebody pulled the alarm and everybody kind of stood
yeah.
there for a minute and went, is that, and then everybody started like running around finding what was going on. And just Nicolette's like, call John, see what he's doing, tell him that. I was like, what's he gonna do? I don't know, he's gotta have a game plan. But that was funny. And what was funny is I think it was at that same place, you know, they give us the coupons for the buffet, and we went somewhere. I think we went early in the morning. We went to go, I don't know, hit the strip or whatever. And when we came back, we went, and all the cameramen like Lalo and Junebug and referee Mike Beltran and all them, they're all eating, and they have these little flutes of champagne. And I'm looking at them, and I walk over there, I go, what are you guys drinking? They go, champagne. I go, are you getting light in your ass? And they're like, no, nah, man, it's champagne brunch. And it's like, oh, shit, we better get some, too. So we ended up having champagne. But couldn't drink too much, though, because we you know, we had the fights coming up that night. But it was always a good time. We always had fun. You know, I honestly miss going there because it was pretty cool. Because we didn't have to even spend $1. It was just whatever we wanted to go buy gifts or go see a show or something. It was really cool. And they always took care of me. So it was really cool. So we missed those days. But anyways, for the people listening, you're here at WrestleBoss Live with Fabi Chulo. Don't forget, you can check us out every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30. And, of course, they put everything up on all podcast networks afterwards, iTunes and Spotify and all that, so make sure you check it out. Nicolette Marie, I was talking to Shamu Jr., who looks to be in pretty good shape and is getting some good matches. And he said, yeah, man, I listened to the show when they uploaded the next day. So the people who listen, I appreciate it. But, man, if you can click that button or whatever to let Kevin know that you're listening, it'll help out a lot, you know?
Yeah, please subscribe to us. And yeah, that's the thing too, we get a lot of traffic through, and sometimes I can see the people that are listening, or people do tell me, you know, one of the most like comments that I get is people write to me the next day, they're like, I love you and your dad on the show. They were like, but you just talk so fast. And I'm like, I don't get stuttered on my words or anything, but it's like, we only have 1 hour. And I always tell people this, and everybody knows this from Fabi's mic skills in the ring, Fabi's very like dominating, and he will, like, talk over me, so I'll talk right into him, or I'll try to get in what I have to say. But, yeah, just let me know, you guys, and if there's any subject, and that's why we leave the call-in number. You guys can call in. You guys can talk to us. Write to us on Facebook what you guys want us to talk about, and we'll definitely clear it up for you guys, or, you know, anyway. But, yeah, subscribe to us, you guys. We definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, or if there's somebody that you want to get on. I've got a lot of emails and stuff that they want to get Conan to come on, but he's got his stuff going on at Lucha Central, and he's always got something. But I told Kevin, I said, man, when that dude is free, you know, let me know so we can get him on. And we got to talk to him a little bit at the Lucha Expo, but, you know, there was wrestling going on. And what's that lady's name that was next to him?
Oh, Selena De La Rente. Yeah,
I like her. She was very distracting or whatever. So we'll try to get him on. And if I put the number up on Facebook, but if you want to call in, we're going to have Gino Told You So in about 5 minutes. But the calling number is
on Sean's. Oh, sorry. I mentioned this on Sean's podcast. I said, too, if any of my independent wrestling friends that are listening want to come on, you guys can, because Fabi normally gets a hold of our MMA person we're having on, and I'll get a hold of the professional wrestler we're having on. You guys can come on, promote anything, your upcoming matches, your merch, anything you guys want. And before, because I know a lot of my friends are super nervous to come on, they're like, well, what are we going to talk about? What are we? You tell me what you guys want to talk about. And if there's anything you guys don't want to bring up, past a match you guys don't want to talk about, that's totally fine. Just let us know and we won't bring it up.
So, yeah. And believe me, we'll just give you the ball and we're wondering. We have like stuff like that, like the daily question, like Yoel Romero, if he should go to Bellator. And then I have a ton of stuff, of course, on pro wrestling. So the number is 323-870-3387. Again, that number is 323-870-3387. Got Gino Told You So coming up in a minute. He's going to sit in on the news. We're going to talk a little bit about that because there's so much going on. Kenny Omega came out in AEW. It was the stupidest thing ever. They were in a trailer and they changed the nameplate on the belt or whatever. But when I bring Gino in, I want to talk a little bit because real quick before we get him in here, I don't think that AEW necessarily needed Impact to brighten up their brand or whatever. What do you think, Nicolette Marie?
That they needed Kenny Omega to brighten up their brand?
To merge with Impact.
I think this is, well, I don't know, because I'm trying to think of the whole COVID thing, because I know they were running into a problem, like they couldn't fly out talent because you had to quarantine for 14 days, so it was a struggle if you were in the independents because there's no way you could fly and then come back for 14 days because you would have to miss work like you're 9 to 5, you know? A lot of people don't have that luxury where they can just only independent wrestle to pay the bills. You know how it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think that right now they were like, okay, all this group that we have of more wrestlers, of more talent, they're all, you know what I mean? We can all keep on wrestling our professional sports, so we'll just merge to have more people together. That's the only thing I could think of why they did it. I did see rumors, but it was like fans on Twitter saying how they would love to see Chris Bay wrestle Kenny Omega.
Yes.
I've seen that merge. And then I saw somebody else, too, say they used TNA, and then the A was the A from AEW, and then the W was from WCW. I saw that. And they said that they were all three going to merge together. That was, like, another rumor. But I don't know. I also saw, too, the thing about Sting coming back. And they were saying, like, he was so much older, and he was still – yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that, too. I don't know – what and it kills me because they have so much talent. When I see their YouTube channel or whatever that they put up, that some of the matches, I'm like, dude, why don't you put those on Wednesday? I mean, it's slamming. So real quick, I'm going to take just a real quick break, and then we'll come back. We'll get Gino Told You So on here, and we'll be right back after this. Hang on, everybody. Real quick break.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
It's beautiful. I had to reset my stuff here real quick, but let me give Gino Told You So a call, and we'll bring him in on some of these subjects, because that's why we're bringing him in, because that dude has a lot to say, and it'll just...
His promo
Oh, they're the best.
Yeah, it'll just enhance what we have to talk about, especially in this day and age.
Hello?
Hey, Gino told you so. It's Seville Alvarez, the Puerto Rican menace. It is Fabiano. You're live on WrestleBoss Live here on Lucha Central. Real quick before we get to you, of course, my co-host, 1,000% knockout Nicolette Maria is here with me. Nicolette, say hi to Gino.
Gino, it's amazing to have you back on the show.
Hola, how are you?
Great, thank you.
I got to be honest, man. The people, we've had a lot of people on here. I mean, I've had like Mecha Wolf and Chris Crote and people like that but for some reason, when we had you on, that was like the most feedback we've ever got. People like, dude, this dude can't stop talking. And everybody was laughing because you said that Ruben hasn't changed his hairstyle in 40 years. And all I mean, it was really, you know, a lot of feedback. So when I was talking to Nicolette Marine, I said, look, I got a lot of news I want to talk about. I said, you think we should bring him in? And she's like, absolutely. Let's bring him in because he, you know, he's perfect for the news segment because he has a lot to say. And you know, we could bring that. You get that a lot, Gino, like especially on your social media and stuff?
Always. And not only that, is I watch everything. Like, I watch every single thing out there. I'm pretty sure whatever you got, whatever you're going to throw at me, I already know what's up. You know what I mean? I watch everything from New Japan, the Impact, the AEW, to the Independence, to WWE, every single thing. I'm always studying. I'm always a student of the game. And, you know, I'm still much of a fan, you know, as much as I am a wrestler. So,
that's
Puerto Rican. I love talking.
And I pay such a – my cable bill is huge because I got to see everything. I got to watch the luchas from CMLL on Sunday. And then the thing that sucked is when they had New Japan on Access TV, I was like thanking God every week. And then when they took it off, that was like the saddest day ever because it was slamming. Never a dull match on there. But anyways, so much to talk about. I get – you know, when stuff like this happens, I get all these emails and messages and what do you think about this and what do you think about that. But the huge news – that's been going on so far is that AEW kind of merged with Impact Wrestling. So when we were talking a little bit before we brought you on, I thought, I don't know why they feel that this need to do this. I mean, that's great for the Impact guys. Like if they put Chris Bay over there and they got a lot of good guys that they can match him up with. And then Kenny Omega came out today and switched the plate and stuff like that. So that's the first question. Nicolette Marie and I were talking about it. We thought, okay, maybe they're trying to enhance the talent or they can't fly so many people during this COVID. But me personally, I don't think that they needed to merge with them. Give us your thoughts on that.
I personally don't think they needed to. The only one that really stands out is like Ethan Page and obviously Chris Bay, one of my buddies. I mean, they don't really need any act. And I don't think anybody, no disrespect to anybody there, but I just don't, I don't think anybody has that star power, you know, that AEW already has. Like, they don't need that. It's like going backwards, you know what I mean? Why would you backpedal? You're going full force ahead. AEW's on fire. I mean, they're kicking NXT's butt, kicking the ratings. I mean, what are you going back? Who are you trying to get, you know what I mean? Other than Chris Bay. You know, that's pretty much all I can say about that. I don't know what it is, but I hope it's not an invasion storyline. I hope, you know, Omega is just there for a quick dip. And it just goes right back to what they're doing. The only one I'd like to see AEW really partner up with is more like All Japan and New Japan. Because, I mean,
everybody, absolutely.
And everybody can go. It's people that no one knows, but they could put on, like, great matches, you know what I mean? Rather than going back to Impact and it's just, you know, the guys that got released or the guys that are stagnant, you know what I mean? Or, I don't know, but I've got a lot of... I don't want to disrespect them, but
that's what I'm saying. No disrespect, but I just don't think that they need, you know, they got so much talent up there. But before we get into the rest, I have a list of wrestlers who got lost in the WWE. We have a top five, and we're going to go over that. But when I was watching Impact today, I have somebody that I thought about that's not in WWE, but that is the most underrated, underused talent so far. And Nicolette Marie, let me know if you agree. We'll take it to you first because Nicolette Marie and I have been a big fan of Taya Valkyrie for quite some time. But they had a show out here at the Inoki Dojo, and they brought the people from AAA. So when she was working with AAA, she came down and did the show. It was her and Fabi Apache and some local people. And I mean, dude, she outshined them so much. I was so glad that they brought Fabi Apache because she had a good dance partner. But I mean, she just was head and shoulders above the other girls. I mean, she put on a show. I was fully entertained. Everything was crisp, was right on. And for a woman, she just really, it was one of the best matches that was on that show. Real quick, Nicolette Marie, would you agree with me? I think if they took her and sent her to AEW, that they would really, really enhance AEW's women's division. We'll take it to Nicolette Marie first. What do you think about that?
I feel like if they can put her with a good partner, because I feel like that girl really succeeds really well in the luchas.
Yes.
So I don't know who they could put her with. Maybe possibly Thunder Rosa, how they've been working with her. But after that, I'm not really sure. Britt Baker? I don't know. But they have to find her somebody good to work with.
Agreed. A good dance partner. Our special guest today, Gino, told you so. What do you think?
Man, I agree. Oh, my God. The only person that you could really put her in there with is Thunder Rosa, who's really good with the lucha. After that, it's like, really, who else can you really put her with? Everybody has a different style and everything like that. I don't know. I can't even put my finger on it. Like, where do you go from there? You know what I mean? It's like bringing in Sting to wrestle somebody, and then it's like, okay, now he goes back down. Like, there's only one way to go is down.
Bobby, let me say this too. Speaking of talent, okay, and we're like Thunder Rosa, that's it. That's all we can think of. Here AEW has the Bunny, okay? Extremely pretty, hot, right? I mean, she's so tiny in her waist, it's like her teeth are too big for her face. Like, you know what I mean? Like, her head's too big for her body, but because she's so hot, it's like... No, but it's like she's so hot, but it's like very little talent. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you couldn't put her with Taya Valkyrie,
Yeah.
And brains and beauty,
Well, this is off the record. I mean, off the sheet that they were going by. But when Nicolette Marie and I went to go see New Japan the second time when they came to Cal State Long Beach, Cody Rhodes was a full blown heel, and his wife was coming out with them, and it was him and I think it was Marty Scurll against the Samoanos, Gorillas of Destiny, and they put on a show. And the way they used his – what's his wife's name?
Brandy Rhodes.
Yeah. The way they used her was just awesome, because he was a heel and he was doing stupid stuff or whatever. And then he was laid out, and Tama Tonga went up to give the splash. And you know the Samoanos, no knees or no elbows. They're coming full speed. And she covered him. Because, like, no, don't. And when he came off and splashed her on top of him, I thought there was going to be a riot. The people went nuts. I was like, man, it was like the best thing we've ever seen. But then now, they're back in AEW, and he's, like, got this gray area. We don't know if he's a face or if he's a heel. And Brandy is doing, different things. I wish that they would go back to that full blown heel. Let Brandy come out, do some stuff like that. Because when the Samoano splashed them, the people went nuts. So real quick, Gino, what do you think about that? I think Cody should be a full blown heel. Bring Brandy Rhodes back in and do some stuff like that. What do you think?
I agree with you. I think they're kind of taking a back seat because of fan backlash. They don't want to seem like. How Dusty Rhodes is doing things back in his day, he was always over putting himself first. I think the fans caught on to that, and Cody knows that, and he doesn't want to kind of put himself in that situation of being important all the time on the show, having the main storyline, best stuff going on, and everybody else, fall flat. I think he's more of like, I'm going to take the back seat, and, I'm going to distance myself away from my wife and let her do her own thing, and, me do my own thing, The only time I really see her is when they do team entrances, which really, I don't need my squad to come out when I enter the ring, They do nothing for me, especially as a good guy. I don't understand why a whole squad of guys got to come out, I don't know.
And he comes out with a notebook like he's going to call plays and stuff like that. Yeah,
I agree with that. You know what? And I love Arn Anderson. I love Arn Anderson. I don't understand what the hell that. And I heard in a podcast, he's like, really stuff on that paper that I wrote down. And I'm like, what are you writing down, man? I'm just wrestling. Are you going to – how to do a proper elbow? I mean,
Yeah, you know, call a play and call timeout or something. But, you know, it's funny, too, that you say that because, you know, when they brought in Sting, I thought, man, you know, that's he's 61 years old. He can't be wrestling. They got maybe a manager or something. And I thought, what are they doing? But the next day I get up and I go on my computer and he broke the record for the most shirts sold in 24 hours. They said that they couldn't even keep them in stock. I'm like, dude, at 61 years old, he must still have a lot of life left in him because they wanted that AEW Sting with the two bats across it and all that. Broke records for selling the most shirts in 24 hours. I have no idea what the thought process is behind that. Nicolette Marie, real quick before we get to Gino, what do you think about that?
How is merch sold out so quick? What's my opinion on it?
Yeah.
I think because he's like a legend, right? I mean, even too, I'm trying to think back to when they released when Sting was going to be in that like PS4 game and like they showed him like going back and forth, like the way when he used to like fly in on the ceiling. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And like it would get like the crowd going. And that was one of the things, like if you were at a WWE live event, like you knew to do that when Sting was coming and you knew to do like the Ric Flair woo. Like that was like a big thing that got the crowd, and it never dies down. So I think that's just purely like based off of like being like a legend. People are like, what? So that's going to get like, and if you're telling your kids, you know what I mean? And you're older in the industry. You're like, hey, this guy was a legend. Just like Ric Flair, you just never fall off. That's what I think that's based off of.
That, good point. Gino, what do you think?
Man, that Sting will always be iconic. One of my favorite wrestlers. If you look in my office, you guys can't see. I've got Sting all kinds of Sting memorabilia from, you know, when he was Surfer Sting to all the way to pretty much WWE, you know, and when I saw him on AEW, it was kind of like, I've seen this before, you know, you look at his age, you know, as a fan, you're like, hell yeah, I want to see this, I can't wait, but you're like, can he still do it? And then, you know, you've been watching WCW, and this is probably way before, you know, Nicolette's time, but, you know, I've been watching WCW, and him dropping down from the roof, the ceiling, and having a bat, and, you know, pointing the bat to everybody, and that was more, to me, like, holy crap, rather than just coming into a ring and just eyeballing everybody. You know what I mean? To me, I was like, whatever. You know, but I'm glad to see him back. I think he's going to wrestle a match. Selfishly, I hope he does. But part of me goes, oh, what if he gets hurt again? But it's like, you know what? He can't go out the way he went out in WWE. And you got to admit, that WWE run was terrible. It was bad.
Oh, yes.
I thought it was selfish. I thought it was just, you know, let's bring him in for the money and let's kick his butt and send him away, and that's exactly what happened. And I don't think he wants to go out like that. So I'm hoping one more. You know, we couldn't see Taker and Sting, so we got to. You know.
Yeah, I would agree that's smart when you think about it that way. But real quick, before we take a quick break, I gotta tell you a story. I was working at the Forum. I think it was either 1990.
I also have a question for Gino before you get out.
Yeah, I think it was 1993 or 94. And I had been putting in my time in the parking lot, and I finally got to work downstairs, and I was at the curtain for WCW. They brought in everybody, Steve Austin. Steve Austin and Dustin Rhodes got in a huge real fight backstage, and I was scared to death. But anyways, Sting was wrestling Abdullah the Butcher, okay? So they go out there, and they're wrestling, and I'm at the curtain. So Harley Race was managing Lex Luger at the time. So Harley's at the curtain watching the match because they were next. So Sting, this was when he was in his prime. He scooped up Abdullah the Butcher, turned him over, and body slammed him. And Harley Race turns to me and goes, he picked him up and slammed him. And I looked at him, and Luger comes up and goes, who, what, wait, what happened? He goes, dude, he picked him up and slammed him. And he goes, who? And he goes, Sting, he just picked up Abdullah and slammed him. And Luger goes, oh, no way. And he goes, I'm telling you, dude. Isaac goes, did you see it? And I'm like, first of all, I'm all starstruck and everything. And I'm like, yeah, he did. So that was like my memory of Sting, is seeing him pick that dude up and pick him up and turn him over and slam Abdullah. And not only did it pop me, when you pop Hardy Race, I mean, that's saying something. So that was crazy. That was awesome.
Hell yeah. I agree, man.
Go ahead,
Bobby. My question to Gino. Gino, I know that you said if I ask you a question, maybe you've seen it. On the WWE Network, did you get to watch the Chronicles of Lana?
I did, man. I cried.
Oh, okay. So I haven't seen it. So what's your opinion on it?
You know what? I didn't cry, but I wasn't really interested. I am not a fan of Lana. I'm gonna be real. You know what I mean? I think I know talent, and for me, I just don't see it. I just don't see anything talent wise with Lana. Nothing like
as a manager and as a wrestler.
I want more. Say it again.
As a manager and a wrestler, you don't see it in her either way.
I don't see her as an actor, manager, wrestler, nothing. Like
okay.
I just. But I was like, "What? I'm gonna go ahead out because I'm a fan of wrestling. And when you're a fan of wrestling, good or bad, you stick to it, you stay with it, you're loyal, and you check it out and you watch it. Right? We've all been there.
Definitely.
Where we're like, this is terrible. The next week. So with the network, you see that and you're like, I don't want to watch it, but I might learn something. And
yeah,
after
you kind
watching,
of want to see what happens.
Yeah, like after watching that documentary, I was a fan.
You get the documentary to go on like a platform and cry like for attention.
Do I feel that she cried for attention?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's still to me not real. You know, I can't imagine what a woman would feel like. Hey, can I relate to her? I don't know. It's too fluffy for me. You know what I mean? I come from all lifestyle. So hearing, you know, I picked on because of this and it made that. And I'm like, yeah, like my mom was
a hooker.
Right.
Exactly. That's what I feel like.
Like, give me a break. But real quick, I got to take a break and then I got to come back and I got to get this top five in real quick. Hang on real quick. We'll be right back after this.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution, bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Yeah, going into overtime, you know, because when I got Gino Told You So on here, there's so much stuff I want to pick brains and stuff about. Because, you know, we talked about this before. I got this top five. I'm always talking about wrestlers that get lost in the shuffle. You know, I talk a lot about some of these luchadores. I'm like so glad that they made it to WWE so that they can make money, you know, and buy a nice house and be able to take care of their family. But I just get so frustrated because they get lost in the shuffle. So I'm going to give my top five. And then when we get to number one, we'll see what Gino Told You So thinks. And of course, 100% knockout Nicolette Marie. So first of all, number five is Gran Metalik. I mean, that dude is the king of the ropes. He's got moves. If they put that guy against like somebody like Rey Fénix, it would blow the roof off the place. And I'm like, dude, again, I'm so happy for him because, you know, he made it into the WWE and he's doing well. But, dude, they just don't know what to do with them. So he's number five. But number four, and Nicolette Marie, for some reason, I don't know why, I don't get his WWE name. But when he was working out here at PWG, was working as UHA Nation. And what's his name, Nicolette
Marie?
Apollo Crews, that dude, before John Moxley left for AEW, they put him against him. And I mean, Apollo Crews lit that dude up. And you can see in Moxley's eyes, like, dude, where did this guy come from? I mean, he was hitting him with drop kicks and just all this stuff that was just, you know, boom, boom, boom. And of course, Moxley was going over. So it was like, you could tell he was like, man, you know, what happened? Where did this guy come from? So that dude completely lost in the shuffle. And then number three, of course, is Garza. You know, Rebellion Amarillo was doing so well out there with his partner, who I have at number two, as Manuel Andrade. When he was La Sombra, dude, he was just, you know, in CMLL working. And then they sent him to New Japan, and he wrestled everybody in New Japan. He was in the tournaments. When you go to New Japan and you go for the tour with CMLL and they send everybody home but ask you to stay for another month, you're a bad dude. Because they told him, "Kay, can you stay?" And they put him in the G1 Climax tournament and all this stuff. And then he gets – the only thing that for him that's good is he's engaged to Charlotte. And, you know, Ric Flair's going to be his father-in-law. So, I mean, that's good on road trips because I'm sure there's stories for days. But just complete – again, so happy that he's there. He's making good money and all that. But just they have no idea what to do with them. So real quick before I get to my number one, of who got lost in the shuffle in WWE. We'll go to our special guest first, Gino told you. So who do you think is the most lost in the shuffle in WWE?
Wow. Oh my gosh. You got to look at all the brands that are available. And there's guys down in NXT, the Performance Center, that you don't even know are there. You know what I mean? They're so overpacked with talent. Guys, like, I can definitely vouch for you, Fabi, when you talk about Grand Metalik being lost in the shuffle. I wrestled this man, and I was a fan of this man before I wrestled him. And I got to wrestle him on 205 Live in 2018, and it was like a dream come true. And just working with him, I'm like, how does – everybody's always going to Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys are not for the next – Mysterio, but you have the next Rey Mysterio right in front of you in your own locker room, and you don't even know it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're looking for mass to sell, you can sell Metalik's. You know what I mean? You can go and sign Phoenix. You know what I mean? You guys have Rey Mysterio right in front of you, and how are you not utilizing him? So I'm gonna agree with you on Metalik, and I'm gonna definitely also Andrade. How can? Oh my gosh! Like I watched him on the. I watched him in CMLL, and he should be a champion somewhere, sometime, you know what I mean? And he's floundering around doing stupid, you know, even with Garza, and I'm like, Garza is so freaking good, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous, you know what I mean? But I'm hoping they know what to do with those guys, you know? Phantasma, I don't know his WWE name. What is it?
Santos Escobar.
There you go. Like, they're doing right with him, but that has an expiration date to me, you know what I mean? But I think he's right where he needs to be, but he's going to be floundering just like the others, man. I feel like if you're Latin, you only have such a small
window.
I feel like the Latin people, we don't get as much love, you know what I mean? Rey Mysterio, that's great, man. But I've been watching that guy for almost, 25, 30 years, man. I'm over it.
I don't think that it's so much that. I don't think they have somebody in the office that knows what to do with them. I don't think they know who to match them up with to give them a good dance partner or something like that. But real quick, Nicolette Marie, give me your number one. Who you think is just completely lost in the shuffle? Then I'll give you mine.
I was going to go with Andrade as well. And you know what? I also read another rumor that they said that they were going to start having him and Charlotte work together. And I don't know if that's another reason of why Zelina Vega kind of got, you know, like the boot. Yeah. And you kind of wonder, too, if they're going to listen to his opinion on what he might have to say or if they're going to be like, hey, like she has that Flair name. We're going with her. Like she's going to steal your shine, you know?
Sorry to interrupt you. Let me tell you what is going to happen with that stupid storyline. It's going to be a chauvinistic storyline, but Charlotte is going to have a chain on Andrade's neck. And saying, let's go, and he's going to go, dude, that's how
you're absolutely right, he's
going to regret that, and Charlotte is one of the greatest wrestlers in the world, not female wrestlers in the world, guys, you know what I mean, and I'm telling you, be like, come on, honey, come on, Andrade, let's go, now, and he's going to, whatever, you know what I mean, like, I don't want to see that, I want to see him
die.
And
you know, Bobby, how you said about that small window, I agree with that, too. It's like as soon as it's Black History Month, that's when all the belts get on all these African-American people. And as far as WWE, as soon as it's, you know, a Cinco de Mayo, here comes all the people, you know, all the Mexicans, you know, Rey Mysterio, you know, that's, and it's so true.
Yeah, they try. I guess they try to give the fans what they want. But my number one out of everybody is Nakamura. Shinsuke Nakamura is... you know, far and away, one of the best Japanese wrestlers ever. He's got everything. He's got size. He's like one of the few really tall Japanese guys, you know, and when he was working in New Japan, I mean, he was just a man. And when he came over, I said, man, he's gonna be the one. They're gonna show him what's up or whatever, and just completely got lost in the shuffle. We barely even get to see him anymore. And if we do, it's like a six man or something like that. So I don't know. What do you think?
I think Wrestle Kingdom, was it 12 or 11? The first time I saw him, I was like, this guy's doing Michael Jackson movements. He has a crown on his head, the longest cape ever. And I was like, I don't know who this guy is, but I am obsessed. And if you look at my office, Shinsuke Nakamura everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
I can't even – I want to see him every week. I can't even find him. And I'm going to tell you my number one real quick.
Go for it.
My number one who's lost a couple, who's just floundering, which is sad, is Pete Dunne. Does anybody know who Pete Dunne is?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that guy's got game.
Oh, my gosh. I saw him on the Independent. I saw him in front of me. I saw him on everything you could imagine. And I'm like, why is this guy hanging around in a group with a podcaster, man? Like, he should
exactly.
be on his own, beasting, you know what I mean? And I feel like he's just being wasted away. I hate it.
Well, let's put it this way. Whoever the matchmaker is for the Crash in Tijuana is a genius, because this guy, he brought down Mustache Mountain while they were still in NXT Britain and had the belts, and put them up against Mecha Wolf and Bestia. And the people just ate it up. I mean, I thought, man, this guy is smart. These guys can go. So that dude, Bateman, when he wrestled Pete Dunne, it was match of the year. I mean, it was it's Tyler Bateman or whatever I think his name is, but they were going back and forth for that cruiserweight belt. And I mean, they put on a show. They must have showed it. I mean, it like broke internet records or whatever. But that's what I'm saying. Somebody like that, when you said that, the promoter from the Crash, that he knows who to put together. He brought down Mustache Mountain. They wrestled Damien and Besta in TJ and blew the roof off the place. I mean, so it's like, man, that this guy knows what's up. That's what we need in WWE. Somebody who knows, well, if I put these guys together, it's going to blow up. So, you know, I can't be too, what do you call, because there's a lot of people that I'd like, Adam Pearce and people like that. But a quick story before we get out of here, and Nicolette Marie, I'll try to put the picture up tomorrow. But at Samoa Joe's wedding, I saw Finn Balor, and I knew who he was because he was wrestling in CMLL or whatever. And the only thing was, is I love Joe to death, but at the wedding, he put us over with the family because, you know, I knew his family so well and all that. And all the wrestlers were way on the other side. So I didn't get a chance to go over there until everything was, you know, after they, you know, they did the dance and all this stuff. And so by the time I got over there, everybody was hammered. I mean, everybody, except for CM Punk, everybody was hammered. So I saw Finn Balor, and I'm like, dude, you know, that's a smart move going to CMLL. You know, that's going to get you, you know, the experience, and you're going to do really well. Didn't recognize a word I said because he was hammered. But when I saw him and said, hey, that guy's really working towards something by doing that, and then he kind of blew up and got really – I mean, he got to the peak, and then same thing, kind of got lost in the shuffle. But see if Gino Told You So agrees with me with this. I think he's better off in NXT than in the main roster. I mean, would you agree?
Everyone is better on NXT than going to the main roster. And it did change my perspective on, like, if I was to ever get signed and, you know, I got a chance to you know, oh, hey, you want to go up where you – well, you don't really get the chance. They say, hey, you're going. I already know. Look what they did to – what's her name? I can't even remember her name. She's the one with Nia Jax.
Shayna Baszler?
I can't even remember. Shayna Baszler was a badass, complete badass.
Yeah.
Goes to WWE Raw, and now it's like, who are you? You lost everything you've ever built, you know, and it's sad.
A legit shoe fight.
Back then.
Yeah. Well,
it's bad.
I'll tell you now what. This is what we're going to do. Yeah, we're going to bring Gino Told You So back. We're going to do a special show, and I'm going to get a couple people on here, and we're going to give you one night. And you get to make five matches, and you could from anywhere, WWE, AEW, CMLL, and you could make your five best matches, and then we'll see what we could come up with. Because I mean, if there was some sort of a six man tag title that I could put together, man, I could put people together that would just blow the roof off. So we'll bring.
Nah, I want to have a night where we make five jokes about Ruben.
You know what? We'll have to be on the air for 2 hours because yeah, everybody will be. Gino? Did you get a chance to listen to the show when he came on after you?
Yeah, I did. I fell asleep during his part.
It's so funny. We even went because he lives close to my brother-in-law. And we went for Thanksgiving or whatever, we went down and because he's so close, we went to go talk to him for a while and went to go see his baby. And he's like, man, Fabi, when you get your show going or whatever, you know, I'll go halfers with you to bring him down because I'm going to put him in the sharpshooter and I'm going to take care of him and I'm going to do this. And he was like really adamant. You know, Nicolette Marie?
He was, yeah.
So we look forward to it. Hey,
but yeah, I know when Fabi brought you on too, he said that, you know, he enjoyed having you on the show. And I told Fabi that too before he called you. I said, you know, the show's getting ready to wrap up for the end of the year. And I joined WrestleBoss maybe about like 4 or 5 months ago. And I always do the podcast almost every Tuesday with Fabi. And I said, I think that Gino and the Unholy were my two favorite guests the whole time that I've been on. And I don't think anybody's going to change my mind. So definitely thank you for the time that when Fabi did call you that you came on.
Yeah.
Not even Ruben?
No, he wasn't in the category.
Hey.
I wanted to tell you one second. This same guy that made fun of me because one booking got canceled because of COVID, and now his whole year got canceled. He hasn't wrestled one match all year. Laughing all year. Because every time he'll go, hey, you know, I'm really sorry about making fun of you about that one, you know, but can you get me? I'm like, no, because, you know, I always remember that. But now this guy can't even catch a break. He hasn't wrestled all year. You know what I mean?
Well,
that's karma.
We're going to book it. We're going to book it strictly because it's in demand. I mean, after we had both you guys on, they're like, well, let's see it or whatever. So we'll definitely do that. Real quick, Gino, because I'm running up against the clock for the people listeners, I'll make sure that we put up Gino Told You So's social media so you can follow and keeps everybody up to date on there. A million thank yous for coming on. We're going to keep in touch, my man, because there's a lot of stuff I want to run by you because it's always good to have you on because you got some good insight for us. So we'll be right back after this. I'm running up against the clock. Gino Told You So, everybody. Make sure you check him out.
Thanks, Gino.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
It's funny how that always comes back around to Ruben. Maybe what we should do is get them two on together sometime so they can go back and forth and kill each other or whatever. So I'm sure Ruben's listening. He's going to say, dude, did that guy's in for it or whatever. But anyways, huge thank you for Gino Told You So coming on. Talk a little bit about wrestling. It's always good to get somebody on here so we can get that insight. Brenda Boom Boom Gonzalez, man, a million thank yous for a great time talking to her, King of the Cage days. And, of course, her husband, Tim Dirty Bird Means, just signed that 4-deal contract. Look for him. I'm telling you, as we sit here today, it's only a matter of time till he gets a title shot. And win or lose, whoever he fights, that dude's going to say, man, I never want to fight that dude again. Because he always brings it. So we definitely look forward to that. Nicolette Marie, I think we're going to be, which is kind of good for me because I'm going to be honest with you. I was blown up on that match. I mean, we were, you know, these young guys, you know, that were wrestling. I mean, I was blown. And Sean Black was like, Fabi, get in here. And I'm like, hold on a minute. I'm blown up. So I'm going to get myself on the cardio and get my win back because that was one of the first times in a long time that I was completely blown up, but I had a great time.
But you know what, Bobby? Both you and Sean, though, have came a long way. Sean just recently, and I'll tell everybody this too, Sean started a new group on Facebook about like dieting and fitness and everything, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
I belong to the group. Chaz Herrera does. I don't know who else I saw in there. A few women that you guys might know, like as like the audience that you've seen at Sean's shows and stuff. But anyways, the people are posting in the group like, hey, today I ate a salad. Today I used a different type of dressing. Today I ran 2 miles. Today I did this. And everybody's kind of helping each other go. I know, too, that I've seen you, too. You're like, hey, I'm lifting weights. I'm doing this. I'm working out, too. a lot of people were like, hey, telling me you're wrong. Like, you were body shaming people. Like, you were getting cocky and arrogant because now you got new gear done. And it's like, no, we're all here to, like, build each other up. There's just a certain way I want to look. There's a way you want to look. You know, there's a certain way Sean looks. Sean comes out with that hip-hop vibe. You know, you were like, hey, I'm dressed as the elf. I was like, I'm doing this kind of style. You know, everybody's just different. That's the thing. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. You see the Lucha guys, and I'm like, wow, I'm impressed. Like, you guys have a better tan than me. You guys wear your gear better than me. You know what I mean? I'm like, I got laid. You're rocking your tattoos. I'm trying to hide mine, you know? So it's just different vibes,
big time.
You know? But give credit where it's due, but people did look good.
Dude, I've been, like, my strength and everything is up there and all that, but I was just sucking wind, man. So you can be the strongest person in the world, but if you're tired, it can help. So, but we did have, luckily, two big dudes, was just destructo and ran, you know, right through. When we hit, what's his name with that tackle, man? I thought he was going to go through the ring, but props to both those guys because they took it. I mean, it was great. And big props to Richard Garcia and of course RJ for booking it, man. I had a great time. So with all that being said, a main thank you, Nicolette Marie for coming on. And of course to my guest Gino Told You So and Brenda Boom Boom Gonzalez. We'll see everybody.
Bobby, really
right
quick,
back
let me plug Gino's stuff. Gino sent me all of his stuff. This says Twitter at Gino Told You So, Facebook Gino Told You So, Instagram Gino Told You So, Cameo Gino Told You So, Twitch Gino Told You So. He's also on TikTok. We'll have to ask him about that. Oh, let's see. What TikToks do me and Favi know? I'm trying to think that we've seen that we've liked. We'll ask him if he could do the Bad Baby TikTok.
Okay, perfect.
Gino Told You So. YouTube channel, Gino Told You So, Puerto Rican wrestler. He does have merchandise. And, you know, Gino's wife is also like myself. She does all of her shirts the same way I do mine. I have kind of picked her brain on that. I do all of Favi's merch, my merch. I was doing the high-risk merch for a while, too. So we do that. That's a... squareup.com/store/Gino_Rivera. He's also on Pro Wrestling Tees and also visit his school at Gino Rivera Off the Ropes Pro Wrestling School.
Wow.
So that's all the Yeah, that's great.
That dude's got a lot going on, man. So, right. Hey, but we do appreciate him coming on, picking his brain, and getting some stuff with us. So, for sure, we'll see everybody right back here next Tuesday. Thank you to Nicolette Marie for coming on with me. And we'll see everybody right here. Big ups to those guys, man. Had a good time. See you guys next week.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.